So this is November 3rd, and this is an interview with Beth Eichenberger. Or not
Mary.
Beth, sorry, Mary Eichenberger. I've done this every time I've
Every
started
time.
an interview. So let's just get started. When did you marry your husband?
Married my husband in 1958.
And obviously, this was before you moved out to Europe.
We were married when he was stationed in Comox. But we had known each other as children. His mother was our teacher in grade three.
Oh, really?
Yes, and in northern Alberta. But we were married in 1958. We met again in Comox, his first squadron.
Okay. When did you leave for Europe? How long after you were married?
He had 13 months on the due line, and then that was sort of a treat for those that went to the due line, could usually get a posting they wanted. And Europe, of course, was what everybody wanted. So we got to go to Europe in 1961.
Okay. How long were you there for
We
in
went through
Europe?
one wing. We
One
were
wing
there
first?
one wing first. We were there for, it would have been 4 years less about 2 months.
Okay. So this was one wing in Marville, France, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We lived in Belgium then.
At Shape?
No, we lived in Virton, a small
Okay.
village. There wasn't enough housing at the base, so many of us had to live in Belgium, which
Okay.
was really preferable to living in the French
Yeah.
villages at that time.
What were the villages like?
The Belgians loved Canadians, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
I had two children then, and going to market, going out anywhere was a nice experience. I was able to have help with some of the local ladies who would babysit for me, help with everything. The Belgians believed that the Canadians were just like them. They were not French or Dutch, and they said just as we were not American or French or British.
Yeah, they recognized it.
Yes.
Did you get to choose whether or not you guys went to Europe, or was it just part of being posted there?
John asked for a
Oh, for
posting to
Europe?
go to Europe.
Did you want to go as well? Yeah.
Yes, I did. I thought it would be a great experience, although shortly before we went, we found out that our young son, who was just a year old, had a heart murmur, and I was a little afraid. But as my husband assured me, they had good medical help
Yeah.
there too.
This was on the base that they had good medical help? Or
Well,
just
we
in
had
the
good
country?
doctors, but we were also, if we needed further attention, we could go to the Americans in Germany, who had a big hospital, or to Britain.
Was this your first time away from Canada?
Other than the U.S.,
Well, yeah.
yes,
So
yes.
was it a huge culture shock?
It was huge seeing all the things that one just read about and you can't imagine. Seeing, here's something that is such a little thing, but it made a difference. Our daughter was toilet trained, and but when we had a camper and stopping in camping grounds, our daughter had to just squat. And she couldn't get accustomed to that. It was just a bad situation for
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Did you find that the amenities in Europe weren't as
Not what we were
no.
accustomed to. The houses were not, and I suppose if a person had a great deal of money, it would be
Well,
different.
of course.
But on what we lived on and where we lived, it was, for example, we had a very nice house. It was all stone and marble that we rented. But there were cracks all around these marble doorways and hallways and windows, and then finding a rat in the basement.
Oh.
And I came from Alberta. I was not accustomed to that.
No.
It was different.
Yeah.
And having to have, every time we moved from one apartment or house to another, we had to have, we had to go notify these people in the municipality. That was different to me. At home in Canada, we just had to move when we felt like it.
Yeah.
And you had to give a change of address when you got a new phone and new power and all of that, but you didn't have to carry your identity card with you. That is what I found very different.
Is there a reason why you had to carry it? Was it just because of the Cold War, or is that just how they did it?
I'm not sure whether they had always had to do it. And then, of course, getting my driver's license would be a NATO driver's license. And we did get, because we had just arrived at one wing, we were there for about 3 weeks, and we were still living in a place that we had sublet from another Canadian couple who was away on leave. And so we lived there. I didn't have a driver's license, and we were quite a distance from the base, and I couldn't get my mail, and John had to go to Sardinia.
Oh.
And I had to be able to drive.
Yeah.
So it was fall, and when he took me into, it was a Canadian, I don't remember what rank he was, nor does it matter, but he took me for my test drive. He took me in the French village, steep hills, and I was nervous taking that test. There was a steep hill that I had to go around somebody who was pulling a load of something with a cow. And, you know, all these things are very different.
Yeah.
But I made it with the exception of parallel parking. And he said, well, you won't need that on the base anyhow. And I agreed with him, so he gave me my driver's license.
Did you have to learn a lot of new things moving out to Europe?
Yes, but it was really was not that difficult.
Yeah.
You just had to treat people with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were on the ship going over, we were given a lecture by the Canadian people stating we were ambassadors for our country and therefore act like it. And we would hear the Belgians talking about some of the Americans, not all, obviously, but there were so many of them.
Yeah.
And they would want to make little America all over, you know, their way is the way. And the women would go to market with hair curlers or pink curls or whatever was the thing going. And the Canadian women did not.
Yeah.
We behaved as, and of course, I think we were more accustomed as Canadians to accept other cultures easier.
Did you find that the military had a lot of strange rules over there?
No, because John had been on a squadron in Comox. And I knew the work he was doing was always secret.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't share any of that with me.
Yeah.
I asked him a question once, and he said, Mary, I don't want to discuss it. If you want to know something, read the Time magazine. And most of the husbands who were doing the kind of work that he was doing were the same. So, and squadron life was very, very supportive of family.
Yeah.
We, if one husband was away, others made sure that the women and families were looked after. Mm-hmm. You could get lonely.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I was fine when we were in Belgium. When we lived in Belgium, I was truly fine. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that very, very much.
Was there any other wings that you found in?
Then we went, and we were at one wing. We went to Europe in 1961. We went to two wing, and in 1963, probably in January, and just prior to that, John was transferred to two wing, but he didn't really work there yet. He had to come to Canada on a four-month course.
Oh.
I couldn't come with him because I was pregnant, and I would have been it would have been too late for me to travel back.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to move from one wing to two wing without him there, but we had friends who helped.
Yeah.
But we had to live in PMQs at two wing, and that was not a pleasant experience. Just that was the one place that I did not enjoy.
Yeah.
Our son was born there, and John got back for that. And then he was told that he was transferred to three wing, which was in about July of 63. And so he said, you've always wanted to go to three wing. It was a preferred location in Germany. And he said, so we can go. And I said, only if you promise to be there to help me with the move. Well, he wasn't.
Oh.
So the man, he was the squadron leader he was going to work with, or for, sent his boys to give me a hand with all the packing, all the clearing up of the PMQ at two wing. They brought me over to three wing, and he and his wife had me set up in the PMQ at three wing. That was fine.
Yeah.
But and three wing was a good place. I was happy to leave two wing.
Oh.
It was the time was when the Gaulle didn't want was kicking out NATO, kicking out the Canadians, and we all had to leave fairly soon. So they really didn't want us.
No, that's what I heard.
Three wing was very pleasant to live in. Our daughter started school there on the base. And John was very busy because of the kind of work he was doing. But because of the work he was doing, it was partly in the intelligence branch, and his working, he did a lot of work that he was decorated for later.
Yeah.
And so he was away a lot. He did a lot of traveling, but it was fine because it was a very pleasant place to be. And once again, I had an excellent lady, Frau Wind, who is a grandmotherly type that one just loves to have look after your children.
Oh, nice.
And she did that. And she cleaned for me. I had the freedom, and I had a car to go traveling, to do some traveling with friends, and just go out and have lunch and go and see things.
Yeah.
Which is what was so pleasant about all of that. It was while we were there that my young brother was killed.
Hmm.
And by this time, John was already working at Four Wing. That was in 64, I believe. Yeah. So he would come home for the weekends. But he came home and told me that he had been notified, so I flew home to attend the funeral. And then we were able to move to Four Wing into a very... The apartment was in a small village, kind of at the end of the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And the landlady and landlord had an electrical shop, and they lived on the ground floor. We had the second floor, and a young American couple had the attic apartment. And they left early because she couldn't handle being away and living there.
So did that happen a lot?
Yes. She was so lonely, but she didn't want to. She didn't appear to want to come downstairs to talk, or she didn't seem to have anybody who came calling on her, mm-hmm. or didn't go out enough. She just stayed there. But I was ill a fair amount of time. Our daughter became ill. So that was not a good place. I mean, this was a place where we had straw mattresses for the kids.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There was just no housing, no PMQs. And the housing was so scarce. It was an awful apartment. The bathroom was over top of what they called the honey pot or something, and you know what that means.
Nope.
That's where all the rest, you know, when you flush your toilet, mm-hmm. the stuff went there.
Oh.
And then they, when it was full, it would go out into the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that, our bathroom was over that, and there were cracks. There was no heat in this place like that. There were cracks around. We had a little heater that we bought. And I would turn it on before we could turn the water on. And the water, heating the water, here was something we had to get accustomed to. They would have, the water just got hot. It was right there, you know, those, I guess it was by gas or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when you turn it on and the water would heat before it would come down, it was very inconvenient. But it was cold. And of course, John got teased when he'd go downstairs. The Germans would laugh at him because he had to have heat for his wife in the bathroom.
Did they not have heat for theirs?
I guess not.
That's awfully considering.
But it was all right. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't really. It was an awful place.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
Yes. Raising our children in that village was very interesting. The landlady and landlord, especially the landlady, I believe, was a real German Frau and probably did well during the war. She looked at our son, who looked like a young Aryan, and she just wanted to keep him to herself. And she would take him to visit her family's farms where they had animals. She met him at the door when he came home from Kinderschule. She'd meet him at the door and take him into her apartment to feed him. Before he came upstairs. And he came home crying one day because some of the kids, there were only two Canadian kids in the class, the rest were all Germans. And he was teased, and so they threw rocks at him, so he started to cry. Came home crying. Well, Frau Huber met him. She took him out and she taught him how to throw rocks.
Oh my God,
at kids. He learned well.
Yeah. Did he go to school in the village or on the base?
In the village at Kinderschule.
Okay.
When we were at One Wing, Anna, our daughter, went to a kindergarten in Belgium.
Oh.
She could speak as well as a native.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you did beautifully.
Just to go back a bit, you said that you had the Frau to help you. Did the government help pay for that, or was that just?
I think we got about $100 extra when we were in Europe, and it was to help pay for things. But our money went a long way in those days.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I had help throughout the 4-year period until Forewing, and then we couldn't get anybody, and that's when I really needed somebody. Mm-hmm. But before that, I always had somebody to help me.
Yeah. Why did you need somebody in Forewing?
Well, I was pregnant. Our last child was born there. And when I got ill the one time, mm-hmm. The lady who would come and babysit for us sometimes, and she was supposed to look after the children when I went into the hospital, her mother was dying. She couldn't come.
Oh.
She had to be with her mother. And there was no one else we could call, no one in the village. So John had to leave the children. He awakened Anna. But she was in grade one.
Oh.
And I had to tell her that he was taking Mama to the hospital and he would be right back. So he really literally dropped me off and had to go home until he could make other arrangements.
Was it hard to be sick with him gone so often and having the kids to take care of?
Oh, yes.
How did you deal with that?
Well, it was all right when I lived a 3-wing and 1-wing because there were people that I could count on. Mm-hmm. We had friends, and it was squadrons, and I could call on any of those people.
Yeah.
But when we were at 4-wing or 2-wing, I didn't have, there weren't any of the, so many people were leaving, and I didn't really know anybody at 2-wing when we went there. And John was away. And when we went to 4-wing, I knew a lot of people, but they were on base.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever live on base?
And not at 4-wing, at 3-wing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And 2-wing.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, how did you deal with being sick and having the kids?
Well, John just had to stay at home when he was there.
Yeah.
And it only happened that he had to stay, do something when, and then we were able to get Frau Hooper. Mm-hmm. And he always ended up getting somebody, some of the local women.
Yeah.
And but it was tough. And for example, after our last baby was born at 4-wing, when I had a very difficult time, and once I had to go in an ambulance to the American hospital,
mm-hmm.
and those ambulances were just like an old truck. It was so rough. And I happened to really lock in with an American doctor who I'm sure must have been a vet. And we all know that American doctors are not usually like that, but that one was. But I was lucky. I was ill once at 1-wing, and I've forgotten her name. She came over and she just looked after me and made soup and did everything.
Yeah.
It was very good. But as I say, at 4-wing, our last place, it was tough. And we didn't have the support. So John had to stay home and just do the best until he was able to get the lady to come and help out.
Mm-hmm.
I need something. It was fun. You know, we, at 4-wing, when Michael was born, because I'd had difficulties with my third child, mm-hmm. When we were at 3-wing, and he was born in the base hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But for my fourth child, they knew about the difficulties I had had, so they had a midwife they had two doctors, and they asked me if I would mind if someone else delivered my baby, and I said, who? It was a South African doctor who was working with them. Mm-hmm. And they had to get my permission because he was black. Well, yes, in those days,
yeah, it's,
yes.
It changed so much.
Yes, and so I said, is he good and will you be there? And he said, oh, yes. So he delivered my baby, and this baby came out. He was very fair, blonde hair, very, very fair. And the doctor brought his wife, who is a blonde, he brought her over to show the first white baby he had delivered. He was so proud. I felt quite good about it.
For when you were not sick, how did you do your grocery shopping and shopping? Where did you go, the villages or the base?
Did a lot of shopping at the villages. Mm-hmm. We would go to the base or to the American Canucks, mm-hmm. where if we went to the American place, I would go with friends. The ladies always used to try to go together.
Yeah.
And because they had a lot of stuff that was so cheap to buy. And if we bought gas at their gas pumps, I think used to be so very inexpensive that we could do a lot of traveling. And the groceries were cheap. You could buy everything. You could buy furniture. You could buy anything at the American BX. And we always had a grocery store on base. But ours were not as well stocked. But we did do a lot of shopping on the economy in the villages, and we loved going to market.
Yeah.
And we liked the experience and supporting them too, because they were good people.
Yeah. Were there any social groups formed from the base that you could participate in?
Both when John was on squadron, yes.
What kind of them?
They had the Officers' Wives Club always, mm-hmm. and so if I felt I wanted to go. But we had a lot of parties. We had a lot of social events that everybody went to. They had curling, and they had, in the winter time, we used to have the squadron dues, not just at the base, but in each other's homes.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a lot of dinner parties, or going out for dinner in restaurants, which was such an experience for us all, to eat that kind of food.
And not have to cook.
And not have to cook. But it was a great experience eating frog's legs and eating snails, any of those things that we... or learning to drink wine. all of these were new experiences for us.
That's so funny. It's occupied.